Well, when I was in Bolkete, which is a town of Ethiopia, east of Addis Ababa, a few months ago, I was just getting ready for service there, and I was reading in Proverbs, and just these three words, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, they just seemed to be, you know, quickened to me. And I was going through different passages, looking at different passages in Proverbs where those three are, you know, together. And often there is wisdom. I mean, all of them are closely related to each other. Wisdom is closely related to understanding and also to knowledge. But often they're mentioned, the three of them are mentioned together in the same chapter in quite a number of places. And there's an emphasis on this, and it's repeated. And so we're going to look at these three, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And maybe, or at least this morning, we'll do part one, which was going to be on wisdom. But I want to just look at a few verses from Proverbs, first of all. In Proverbs chapter 1, first book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is a wonderful book, and it's concerning, you know, relationships with one another. And my wife and I, we read one chapter each day for the day of the month. And so I encourage those of you to do the same. And there's many nuggets, there's many gems, many wonderful truths in this precious book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs 1 and verse 2, in fact, one of the main themes in Proverbs, you know, is wisdom. And it begins in verse chapter 1 and verse 2. First thing it's meant, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. First thing that's mentioned in Proverbs is wisdom, to know wisdom, an instruction to perceive the words of understanding. So there in verse 2, it speaks of wisdom. It speaks of understanding. If we go down to verse 5, a wise man will hear. It's wisdom to hear. Hear and to not just to hear only, but the thought in the Hebrew is to hear and obey. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And then in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there in those few verses, wisdom is mentioned two or three times. Understanding is mentioned a couple of times. Knowledge is mentioned. All right, so that's in the first chapter. We go to the second chapter of Proverbs. And you know, certain things in Proverbs, they're repeated. They're repeated, and they're repeated over and over. And it's not just to fill up space, but where there's repetition, generally God is saying, well, hey, listen to this. Listen to me. And it's repeated again. And it's repeated. And often things that are repeated frequently is for emphasis that they're very important, that we listen, that we hearken, that we obey. And so in chapter 2, in verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. So again, we've got wisdom and understanding in that verse. And then in verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So again, just in those two verses, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. In fact, it mentions understanding twice. And then again, we go to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. So we've got wisdom, we've got understanding. If we go down to verse 19, it tells us, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens. So again, there's a repetition of wisdom and understanding. Verse 13, it mentions both wisdom and understanding. Verse 19, again, it repeats it and it mentions both wisdom and understanding. And then, of course, verse 20, it said, by his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. So again, we see wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Then we go to chapter 4. And in chapter 4 and verse 5, Solomon writes, he says, get wisdom, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. You know, wisdom is personified, especially in chapter 8, you know, as a person. Wisdom, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. And verse 7 is quite a verse. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the main thing. Wisdom is the most important thing. The most important thing you can have, what is it? It is wisdom. And it says, therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And it's true. Wisdom is the most important issue of life. So in verse 4, it says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Now, it doesn't actually mention knowledge there, but it's speaking about teaching. And so that when there's teaching, there's an impartation of knowledge. So knowledge is kind of implied. And then in chapter 5, going on to Proverbs chapter 5, in verse 1, my son, attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Again, wisdom and understanding are both mentioned in verse 1, and knowledge is mentioned in verse 2, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. And then we go over to chapter 8. And that whole chapter, chapter 8, is about wisdom. And we see wisdom as a person, as a person. Doth not wisdom cry aloud? Does not wisdom cry? In other words, as a person speaks, wisdom speaks. And in this chapter, wisdom is personified, you know, as a person. Verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Chapter 9 and verse 1, wisdom has builded her house. She's hewn out her seven pillars. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy, or the Holy One, is understanding. So we see those three words, they're all together here in chapter 9, all in one verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy is understanding. And so, you know, we see these words, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, repeated, continually emphasized. Chapter 24 and verse 3 and 4. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Through wisdom, we build our house. Through wisdom, our spiritual house is builded. By understanding, it is established, and by knowledge. There are those three again. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So we see these words, they're closely related, they're linked together, and they're emphasized a lot. They're repeated many times here and other parts, of course, in the Word of God. And so this morning we're going to look in particularly the first one, wisdom. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing, the main thing, the most important thing. And in some ways, the most important thing we should be seeking for and asking God for is wisdom. It is the most important issue of life. And the main Hebrew word for wisdom is a Hebrew word, chokmah. And it means to act wisely. And wisdom basically is the ability to make the right choices. And as a result of making the right choices, to live life skillfully. You know, we're all faced with choices. We have choices to make, you know, every day. There's major decisions that need to be made, but there's minor decisions we need to be made. And, you know, we are a result of the choices we make. And it's wisdom. A prayer from our hearts should be going up to the Lord often. Lord, I haven't got it. Lord, I ask you for wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to live life skillfully. Help me to live life fruitfully, to bear forth much fruit. Help me, Lord, to make the right decisions, the right choices. Proverbs 8 and verse 11, which we've already looked at. And again, this is quite a verse. It's quite an amazing verse. You know, wisdom is better than rubies. And rubies, of course, are a precious stone. They're costly to buy. But Solomon says wisdom is better. Wisdom is better. It's much more important than precious stones and costly stones like rubies. And then he says, and all the things that may be desired. Everything, just think of anything you could desire. Anything that you could desire. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's silver. Maybe it's gold. Maybe it's houses. Maybe it's riches. Maybe it's cars. Maybe it's latest Lamborghini. Or anything you could imagine. Pleasures, travel. Everything you could imagine. And what does the scripture say? What does the word it says? Wisdom is better than rubies and all that may be desired. Anything that you can think of that you desire cannot even be compared to wisdom. All the millions of dollars, billions of dollars cannot be compared to wisdom. Isaiah 33 in verse 6, it tells us there, it says, wisdom and knowledge are the stability of our times. They're the stability of our times. You know, we're living in a day when things are being shaken, when, you know, nothing is solid, nothing is secure anymore. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And that's what the scripture prophesies. But with wisdom, with knowledge, you know, there comes a stability in the midst of all kinds of turmoil, in the midst of all kinds of shakings. You know, people think, well, you know, put their trust in their bank. But, you know, banks go bankrupt and, you know, banks fail. Even things that people think are very secure, you know, they fail. Earthquakes happen, houses disappear. But wisdom and knowledge are the stability. There is a stability. There is a security that we can have in wisdom and in knowledge. Today, so many things, so many institutions, they're unstable. Banks can collapse. Banks will collapse. Proverbs 28 and verse 18. It tells us there Job 28 and verse 18. The price of wisdom It is far above rubies, far above rubies. In other words, wisdom is without price. It is priceless. And it is important to truly appreciate, you know, the value, the worth of wisdom. In 2 Chronicles, and, you know, David had been instructing his son Solomon, and he'd received instructions from his father and also from his mother Bathsheba. Now, King David came to the throne, and when he came to the throne, he was still very young. He was about 19 years of age when he came to the throne. But when he came to the throne, you know, the Lord appeared to him. And in 2 Chronicles and chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "In that night did God appear to Solomon. And God said to Solomon, he said, ask what I shall give you." He had an open checkbook. He could ask anything he wanted. And God invited Solomon to ask him for anything he desired to ask God for. "Ask what I shall give you." So God was saying to him, "You ask something, I will give it to you." "And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let the promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust on the earth in multitude." It was a huge amount of people. And his cry is, verse 10, "Give me now wisdom." First thing he asked God for, give me wisdom and knowledge, that I might go out and in before this people, who can judge this thy people that is so great. And so when he was given it, and he could ask for anything he wanted, he could have asked for riches and fame and so on, which God gave him anyway, but he asked for wisdom. "And God said to Solomon," verse 11, "because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked, and you have not asked riches, wealth, honor, nor the life of thy enemies, neither hast thou asked for long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou might judge my people over whom I have made thee king." And God is preparing us to be kings, preparing us to be kings and priests, you know, and to reign and rule in this life and in the millennium and into all eternity. And God said to Solomon, verse 12, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before you, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked for an understanding heart, so that he would judge the people. He'd be able to discern between good and bad. He could have had anything he wanted, but he asked for wisdom. And his father David had impressed upon him from a very young age, you know, the value, the great importance of wisdom. You know, what are some attributes of wisdom? What are some examples, some attributes of wisdom? As we've mentioned, it is the God-given ability to make right decisions, to govern our lives properly. For without wisdom, we don't know how to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to God. You know, often we think we do. We think we're in control. We think we can live our lives, run our lives. But Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps." It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. In other words, God is saying, We don't know of ourselves how to organize our life, how to guide our life, how to live our life to the fullest with meaning and purpose. It's not in man. It's not in man. So wisdom is that God-given ability that comes from God so that we do make the right decisions, the right choices, so that we govern our lives properly. Because without wisdom, we don't know. We don't know how to please the Lord. So wisdom, it's wisdom to choose good friends rather than evil friends or bad friends or friends who curse and cuss and are full of the ways of the world. Now, obviously in our jobs and everything, we need to, certain jobs, you hear all kinds of worldly stuff. But those who are close to us, those who are good friends, you know, we need to choose good friends rather than evil. Many start the Christian life, but they're taken off the course. They backslide, they go back, and often the reason can be because of wrong friends, bad friends. Good friends, those who love God, those who love the Word, those who love Jesus, they'll encourage you to go on for the Lord. But those bad friends who love the things of the world, they're going to encourage you to go in the different direction, to go away. Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says, "He that walks with wise men will be wise, but he that is a companion of fools shall be destroyed." 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company destroys good character. If we want to have good character, we need good company. Bad company destroys good character. You know, sometimes you can know somebody by the people they hang out with. And, you know, likes go to like. Likes go to like. Wisdom, it's a wholeness of life. It's a wholeness of life. Wisdom, we need it in the area of our spirit, our soul, our body. It is the ability to live life skillfully, to live life prosperously. We know, you know, God's hand, God's prosperity upon our life. Wisdom, it's to be slow to speak and it's to be swift to hear. And this is a precious attribute of wisdom. A wise person will be slow to speak, will be swift to hear. You know, some people always just talking, never listen. James 1, verse 19. Be slow to speak, be swift to hear. Wisdom is loving righteousness, but not only loving righteousness. Wisdom is loving righteousness, but hating iniquity. And it tells us that in Psalm 45 and verse 7. To love righteousness, but also to hate sin, to hate iniquity. Some people, they love righteousness, but the problem is they don't hate what is wrong. King Jehoshaphat, he was a good king in many ways. He taught the word of God. He taught the law. He was a good teacher. He sent out teachers. And he did love righteousness. But the problem is, then he got with the wrong person. He got with King Ahab, and he joined affinity with King Ahab. And Ahab was a very wicked king. He was a very evil king. And because of that, you know, Jehoshaphat, there was mixture in his life because he loved righteousness, but then he went to battle as if Ahab was his friend and he joined him for battle, which he should not have done. And he was rebuked later by the prophet. But Jesus was one. He loved righteousness, but he also hated iniquity. And We see that in Isaiah 7 and verse 15. The book of Isaiah in chapter 7 and verse 15. And it's speaking prophetically of Christ. And it says, butter and honey shall he eat. So in other words, he'll feed on the word of God. Honey speaks of the Spirit of God. And that shall he eat, that he might know how to refuse the evil. Refuse the evil. In other words, hate the evil and choose the good. Love the good. So there's one of the keys. One of the keys to wisdom. One of the keys to loving righteousness and hating iniquity is to eat butter and honey. What is butter? Butter is the abundance of milk. Milk speaks of the Word of God. And as we feed on the Word of God and we have the honey, the life of the Spirit of God, we shall know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. Wisdom. Wisdom is turning away anger with a soft answer. Turning away anger with a soft answer. And a familiar scripture in Proverbs 15 and verse 1, it tells a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, if someone's angry at you and then you start getting angry back and starting raising your voice and yelling, it just adds fuel to the fire and ends up in a full-scale shouting or yelling match. Grievous words stir up anger. But it says a soft answer turns away wrath, turns away anger. A soft answer turns away anger. And so, turns away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. And so, wisdom is turning away anger. That is wisdom, to turn away anger by answering with a soft answer, with a soft answer. And then, in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 6, it's speaking about the law of God. And, you know, in Deuteronomy, there's a repetition. In the book of Deuteronomy, the words are spoken by Moses just before the children of Israel went into the promised land. And he's going over the law. He goes over the what they've done in the 40 years, the places they've traveled to and where they've been in the wilderness. But then he goes over, it's a repetition of the laws of God, and in particular the Ten Commandments. And so in the book of Exodus, we read the Ten Commandments when they were first given to Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. But in Deuteronomy in 4 and 5, it speaks there like it's a repetition of those Ten Commandments. And so it tells us there in Deuteronomy 4, verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom. This is your wisdom. Now, some people say, well, you know, the Ten Commandments, they're not relevant today. But they are relevant. In fact, they're very relevant. In fact, Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law. He did not come to destroy the Ten Commandments, destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill it. And so it is wisdom. It is wisdom to do them. For this is your wisdom. This is your wisdom. And so it's wisdom to obey the Ten Commandments. It's wisdom to honor your mother and your father. And that applies not just when we're little kids, but throughout our lives. They're our mother and our father. It's wisdom to obey that. It's wisdom to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath day, I mean, even God, he worked 6 days and then he rested the seventh day. Now, we don't have to get into bondage because I know some people, they have no choice. They've got to work on Sundays and so on. You know, when I grew up in New Zealand, I mean, everything was shut on a Sunday. The shops were shut, everything, you know, closed down. But, you know, today, You know, we're in a generation, we're in an age where people have disregarded God's laws have been broken, God's laws have been changed. And, you know, on a Sunday today, sadly, most people are out at going to the malls, going shopping, going sports matches and so on. But the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And it is, and it says that in Deuteronomy 4:6, keep therefore and do them. In other words, obey God's laws. And it says, for this is wisdom. This is wisdom. In other words, it's wisdom to obey the laws of God. And, you know, regarding the Sabbath, I think we should try as much as possible. It should be a different day than the rest of the week. If we've been working in a job 6 days, even God rested, you know, we should rest. We should have a change. We should be in the house of the Lord. We should, you know, spend time with the Lord in prayer and the Word of God. Maybe have a rest physically and to basically rest. Now, you know, there's a balance to this, I realize, but, you know, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But I can remember one time I'd been preaching a series on the Ten Commandments. I think we're meeting in the work was being done here in the sanctuary, and we're meeting in the classroom on Sunday morning. And I'd been speaking on one Sunday on the Sabbath day, and I mentioned a passage that I'd never ever spoken about before, and it was Numbers chapter 15, and it was about, you know, gathering. It was a man who was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day during their wilderness journey, and so they, you know, Moses was, you know, there was nothing specific, you know, to do written about how they should judge him, and so Moses, you know, had to inquire of God. But basically he was out gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, and I spoke from that Numbers 15. Little did I know that then Jim Halleck told me afterwards he'd been gathering sticks on the Saturday, and he was in planning to go home from church on the Sunday afternoon and gather some more sticks and then burn them all. But fortunately, he changed his mind after hearing the message, and those sticks did not get gathered and burned, you know, on the Sabbath day. But, you know, we're sadly, you know, many, many in this nation and in many nations today, they're rejecting God's laws, changing God's laws. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. There's no punishment in any way for that today. They've changed God's laws. Here they've even permitted other laws which are an abomination to God, like homosexual marriages, and then being forced and forcing in many public schools, forcing school kids to learn all about homosexuality and lesbianism and so on. But in spite of what is happening in the society in which we're living in, it is wisdom. It is wisdom to keep God's laws and God's ways. Wisdom is having the fear of the Lord. It's having the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, when it says the beginning of, that does not mean that the fear of the Lord is left behind in the course of acquiring wisdom. No. But it's saying that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What it means is it's saying that the fear of the Lord is the most important thing. The fear of the Lord is the controlling principle of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is cautious living. It is thinking before you act. It is having a reverence for the Lord, a respect for the Lord. You know, an awe of the Lord. You know, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we come into God's presence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And God wants us to have a reverence, have a respect, a certain awe of the Lord. And wisdom is having a heart that will hear. And in that first verse, in that verse we looked at the beginning, Proverbs 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. And it means not just hearing with our ears. I mean, people can hear and take no notice. I mean, that doesn't accomplish anything. But hear, the thought of is not just hearing, but then hearkening or obeying to what the Lord says. You know, when David was young, especially, you know, when God was preparing him to be king, you know, we see much wisdom, even when he was very young. And God blessed him as a result. 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, it says, David went out wherever the Lord sent him. And he went out. And he went out on behalf of King Saul. But it says he behaved himself wisely. He behaved himself wisely. He behaved himself wisely. And God wants us to behave ourselves, you know, not just on Sundays, but every day through the week, at home, at work, wherever we are, that what we do, what we say, what we think, we behave ourselves wisely. And this is repeated, you know, twice more in this chapter, in 1 Samuel 18, again in verse 14, it says that David behaved himself wisely. And then in verse 30, again, speaking of David, he behaved himself wisely. Three times it's repeated just in that one chapter. And at a young age, God developed in David, you know, a heart for wisdom. You know, and he was caring for, looking after the sheep of his father. And later on, you know, David became renowned throughout Israel, you know, for his wisdom, In the last verse of Psalm 78 in verse 72, it says, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by a skillfulness of his hands. In other words, you know, he guided them. He led the children of Israel. He led them. He was king, and he led them with much wisdom, Solomon, sadly, he did not end well, but he started with great wisdom. And he asked for wisdom, and wisdom was manifest in the life of Solomon. And it was an abiding anointing and mantle that was with him most of his life. And he had a heart that desired and loved wisdom. And he'd been instructed by his parents about the priceless value of wisdom. And he'd receive instructions from them. And in 1 Kings in chapter 3, we know shortly after he became king, and these two women came they both had very young babies, had just been born. They were sleeping in the same room. And one of the women, they rolled over and they suffocated their baby, and their baby died. And then in the middle of the night, that woman woke up. She realized her baby was dead. So what she did is she took her dead baby and she put it with the other woman who was sleeping, and she took the baby from the other woman who was alive and brought it to her. And then they woke up in the morning, and then the baby who had been taken from the woman, she realized that the baby who'd been placed there was not her baby. So they went to the king, they went to Solomon. And there was, you know, a manifestation of that wisdom. You know, Solomon said, bring me a sword. Let's cut the baby in two and have half each. And then the true mother, you know, said, no, don't kill it. Give it to the other one. And then Solomon said, well, you are the true mother. Give her the baby. And so, you know, both claimed the child was theirs. But, you know, God gave great wisdom to Solomon. And Solomon, in 1 Kings 4, verse 29 to 34, Solomon reveals the character and the wisdom of God seen in his creation. He spoke about the trees and the animals and the truths of the Godhead, which they illustrate. And then in Proverbs 9, it tells us about wisdom, and it tells us about pillars of wisdom. And it says, wisdom has builded her house. He's builded her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. So wisdom is hewn out seven pillars. And it says, wisdom has builded her house. Wisdom has, the first part of that verse, wisdom has builded her house. It tells us in Proverbs 14 and verse 1, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman plucks it down with her hand. And many foolish women, they destroy their house by their actions, by their words. They pull down their husbands, they criticize their husbands. But a wise woman builds a house, strengthens a house, is a homemaker, builds a house. The foolish, the one who's got no wisdom, tears it down with her hand. And in Proverbs 9, back in Proverbs 9, verse 1, it says, wisdom has built her house, she's hewn out seven pillars. And, you know, James tells us, the book of James, chapter 3, tells us what these seven pillars are. And in James chapter 3, and from verse 13 to 17, James, he contrasts the wisdom of this world with the wisdom of God. You know, the wisdom of this world seeks to achieve for self through devious means. But the wisdom of this world, it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. And its fruit, the result of it, is envy, jealousy, strife, bitterness. But the wisdom from above seeks to achieve for God, you know, through purity of heart. And when those seven pillars are mentioned by James, James 3 and verse 7, the first one that is mentioned, the first pillar of wisdom which is mentioned, the first pillar, the wisdom from above, of God's wisdom is pure. The wisdom from above is firstly pure. And so, wisdom, it is wisdom to live a pure life. And we need to cry out to God, because we're living in a sinful generation, we're living in an adulterous generation, we're living in a very sinful generation. And we want to be pure. We want to be pure, pure sexually, pure in our heart, in our motives, in why we do things. And the wisdom from above seeks to achieve for God through purity of heart, through purity of heart. You know, so much immorality, you know, everywhere you go, even many high school students, some reports in some colleges, you know, 50% plus of those students are sexually active. And, you know, as a nation, you know, so many have turned, in America, as a nation, so many have turned from God, have turned from the ways of God. Same-sex marriages legalized, homosexual lifestyles, even being taught in schools, things which are an abomination to the Lord. But the scripture is very clear. Flee sexual sin, flee fornication. In fact, Paul says that those who do these things and continue to do them and don't repent, they will not get to heaven, they will go to hell. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in the first nine chapters of Proverbs, there are many warnings by King David and also Bathsheba to Solomon. And one of the most repeated warnings is a warning concerning immorality and not getting involved with a strange woman, avoiding sexual sin. In fact, Solomon, he became king at 19. So possibly these warnings were given when he was just maybe 16, 17, 18. He was very young. But there's warnings. And again, these warnings, it's not just once, but it's not just twice, not just three times, but just in the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs, five times, chapter 2, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 9, five times, there's warnings for young people, and warnings for young people against the strange woman, against sexual sin, against immorality. And, you know, it's good for young people and also all of us to pray. That prayer David prayed. David possibly prayed it too late. But in Psalm 51 and verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me, O God, a clean heart. And so, you know, we want purity in body, purity in our hearts, our thoughts, our motives, no deceit, not just what we do, but why we do it. What are our motives in our hearts? The wisdom from above is peaceable, to be at peace with people, to be in agreement, and it's wisdom. At times, you know, I've actually felt the presence of the peace of God in my heart, even in the midst of turmoil. You know, a man or woman of wisdom, you know, is a man of peace. The wisdom that's from above is gentle. And the wisdom of God is gentle. It's not harsh. The wisdom of God is easy to be entreated, to know when to yield and when not to yield. And it's wisdom to yield to the wishes of others. Unless, you know, we can't yield on those things which are contrary to the word of God. But it's wisdom also to be full of mercy and good fruits, to be without partiality. Wisdom to be without hypocrisy, to be sincere, to be transparent. And for young people, it says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It is wisdom to remember the Lord and walk with the Lord when you're young. There's decisions made in your youth which can determine our destiny. And we can have eternal path for right or wrong. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. And so, as we close this morning, I want to encourage you, I want to encourage each of you, and encourage myself, that we ask God for wisdom, and ask him, you know, every day. James 1 verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men freely and without upbraiding. And by the grace of God, let all of us, you know, increase, not in our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, increase and know, you know, the wisdom of God and to grow in his wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, you said, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to get wisdom. Lord, it's the most important issue in life. And Lord, we ask you now, Lord, from our hearts, Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to make right decisions. Help us to make right choices. Help us to feed daily on your word. Help us to be those who will spend time in prayer and in your presence. And Lord, we pray that we will know your wisdom. We will make right choices. And by your grace, Lord, we will live life skillfully. Lord, seal these thoughts to each of our hearts. And may we often pray for wisdom in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.